comments. Just sincerely appreciate everything the city does.
And QJ said,
thank you for being my alderman.
All right, we'll move on to minutes for correctional approval, February 16, 2021. Any questions or comments on that? Is that a no? All right. We'll move that on. Then that brings us to PW 2021-08, no observation report.
Yep, this is just a typical monthly report. This was an unusually busy month, the last half of February there. And as you can see, we did have three trucks that were either down for the entire time or for a good portion of the time. So I wanted to take a little bit of opportunity to thank my crew, the Public Works and Parks crew, for doing a tremendous job while one third of the big truck fleet was down. They did a great job, and hopefully we have one more storm to add from yesterday, but I should have a year-end total next meeting for us.
Any questions? Buck has any questions?
Just one on the salt brine failure. How do we try and mitigate that going down so that we can have a machine running?
Oh, we're just getting a replacement part. It's actually a computer board. It's a whole board that we have to replace. We have it on order. It's been on back order, actually.
So once that's replaced, we'll be up and running, obviously not for this season anymore, but for next year.
Yeah, we'll actually, to test it out, we'll fill up. We have a 10,000-gallon tank and a 6,000-gallon tank at PW that will fill up, and we'll have it full and ready for next year.
Seaver is on Zoom.
No, I haven't.
Okay. That was just informational. So then we're on a PW 2021-09 water department agreements for September through December.
Yep, this is just
2021.
Yeah, this is just our monthly report that we have to report to the EPA. There's really nothing of note or that sticks out except for the fact that during the winter months we use much less water than even the close to winter months, late fall. So this does have to go on the city council for approval though, so it can go on the agenda.
Buck has any questions?
No.
See you, any questions?
No, sir.
Nope.
Can I take number 3 and 4 together? Okay. PW 2021-10 and -11 roads to program content awarding construction engineering agreement.
Go first.
Yeah, so I'll touch base on the bids. So bids were received on February 19th. The three expected and usual bidders all did the project. Low bidder ended up being Deconstruction in the amount of $857,885.67. As far as the work and where it's located, there are some exhibits in the packet that highlight those areas. In addition to some paving work, which is mainly south of the river, we do have planned sun striping and crack sealing as well. Below estimate and within the budget, so we are recommending award to the construction. And be happy to address any questions that anybody may have.
Alderman Cook, do you have any?
Just on the map here, it shows priority 1, 2, and 3.
So that is for the crack sealing. So it's crack sealing is difficult to measure and it changes rapidly, especially over the winter time. So we're going to try to accomplish as much as we can with the dollar figure that we figured out, which is about $50,000. So once we complete priority area 1, they would jump to number 2, and if there's any money left over, they jump to number 3. three and try to finish that as well.
And these are usually newer roads, it looks like, huh?
You try to crack seal usually within that 4 to 7 year window time frame. That's normal time frame for that.
Yeah.
Zebra or Funkhauser?
I'm good.
Agreed.
All right, so then the contract that's with that is with EEI. It is for construction engineering to complete those roads this summer. Their contract amount is budgeted, and we do recommend it for approval. And it is $66,291 cost estimate, so it'll be done on an hourly basis because it's construction engineering.
Okay, is there any questions on that?
No.
Seaver?
No question.
Ken?
No.
Alright. I think we move those on then. Let's go to PW2021, number 12 and 15, Elizabeth Street, Apple Creek Court, Water Main Improvements, Contract Award and Construction Engineering Agreement.
Alright, bids were received on March 5th. Several bidders on this project, 11 if I'm correct in counting. The low bidder was Stokes Excavating. They're based out of Rockford. They were previously based out of, I think, the Aurora area. I think they might even have an office in Batavia currently. Their base bid plus alternate A, and those two need to be added together. The alternates had to do with the style of water line or water surface construction. Ended up alternate A was low. So the total bid is $600,295.12. So we, the city has not worked with Stokes Excavating, so we did ask for references and we did make some phone calls. They have not done a lot of municipal work. They have done some projects for the city of Aurora. We have contacts over there at the city, so we did check in with them. They felt as though Stokes would be able to handle this type of project. We also checked with their private references, and they also commented back on the same. They have a couple subcontractors to do the paving and concrete work, which are very reputable. Builders Asphalt, the city's Roadway Roads Program, and Alliance for the Concrete, and Alliance has been around forever. Very good concrete contractor. So at this point, we have no reason not to recommend awards to the low bidder, and certainly we'd be open to answering any questions anybody may have on the bids.
Ken, any questions?
Nope.
Seaver, any questions?
None.
Buckhauser?
Straightforward.
All right.
So the construction engineering agreement that's attached to the back side of that to do the project, again, is budgeted. It's in the amount of an estimated $68,791, and we do recommend approval with EEI.
Anybody got questions on that?
No.
No.
Just to clarify,
yep.
The contracts are based on the current rates, not the rates we're discussing later, or will they be based on the proposed rates?
They are assuming the 2021 rates are approved.
Okay.
Good question.
All right, we're looking.
Move down to PP2021 14 Kennedy Road and Mill Road Intersection Improvements Engineering Agreement.
Okay, so this is the last piece of the Mill Road project, generally east of the intersection and the intersection of Kennedy and Mill Road. This is a $51,383 direct expense contract with DEI for design engineering. The intent here would be to design the roadway, make some decisions on how the intersection actually looks, put it out to bid, and hopefully be able to complete it with funds that will be received by the Grand Reserve developer here in the next several weeks. So that is the thrust behind this engineering contract. If you remember, we reviewed the bids for the Mill Road section east of here, so the majority of Mill Road, and that was significantly under budget, which allows us, hopefully, to complete this last piece of it for what the developer is going to give us. So that's the explanation. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take it.
Is this cost potentially able to be recouped in the developer cost? Is there enough there left over still?
We think so, yeah. We think that once you add this in here, that it'll be pretty close.
Okay. I'm hoping that this comes in to be a net zero to the city.
Me too. Yes.
Let me see it happen.
Huh?
I'm good.
Received their permit from IDOT, which certainly took quite a bit of time, and that has been city has reviewed the Ashford Road plans and have signed off on them as well. So performance guarantees are in place. They've been in place for quite some time. And we don't have a final schedule from the developer yet, but they're fully aware they need to have these improvements completed by November. So one would expect them to be starting a project probably in June or July timeframe at the latest. But we'll certainly reach out to them to see if they have any more of a formalized schedule. We have taxi agreements just for your information if you wanted to dive that deep into it. But certainly would be open to answer any questions anybody may have.
On Hoffhauser?
Is HR Green still active on this, moving it forward?
Yes, Dave and Dave Schultz and I routinely talk about it. They're the ones that prepared the plans for us. I'm not sure if they'll be involved in construction or not, but they've been involved up to this point.
Are you all expectations that this is going to get completed?
Yes, they verbally have stated that to me. Certainly, they have to complete the work, but we also have performance guarantees in place as well. So certainly, I'll share.
That's what I was going to follow up with this.
Yeah.
What do we have as guarantees?
Yeah. We have that in place, and as I learn more of the schedule, certainly we'll share that and pass that on.
Seamer?
No, man.
Oh.
I'm good.
Yeah, we've got a couple requests that popped in over the wintertime. So the first one is Sabinock and Fremont. There was a request to look at the multi-way stop. Currently, there's yield as you approach Sabinock and Fremont. You have seen the typical evaluation form that we look at. And after reviewing the information, the traffic data, and what have you, certainly would not support the issuance of, or the recommendation of a four-way stop. Sabinock is a kind of a minor collector, if you will, the initial request was to install stop signs to reduce speed. You don't install stop signs for speed control, so we are not recommending a four-way stop. However, we would recommend replacing the yield signs at Fremont, the stop signs, probably appropriate considering the volume of traffic on Sabinock. So we are recommending that. Also in this case, we were just able to purchase some equipment that allows us to track not only counts, but speed. So we installed that equipment for this particular evaluation as well. And this was kind of an add-on from the chief to make sure we took a look at this. So that data is also present within the memo. Basically, the average speed worked out to be right at 30 miles an hour, and the 85th percentile would be higher than that. Local speed limit is 30, if you didn't recall that. And one possible thing to help control some of the speed or help identify the speed more readily to the drivers would be potentially to add some speed limit signs right off of the electric street, so right off of 47 in the queue. So that's a recommendation. So certainly willing to get into more detail if anybody has any questions.
Alderman Cole?
I'm good.
Hoffhauser?
Because it's unusual to see a recommendation to change it.
We can say that we do look and sometimes it does change. Rarely, but sometimes. Seaver?
I can live with those recommendations.
Alright, the next one, I'm going to burst the bubble already. So we evaluated a couple spots. in Heartland as requested by a resident. One was at Clearwater in Omaha, and another one was kind of midway along Omaha. So again, the typical evaluation, first intersection does not meet the criteria for a stop sign, so therefore not recommending any change there. And then the request to install something midway really had to do with controlling speed. Once again, you don't use stop signs to control speed. We did track speed in that area. The average speed was almost 27 miles an hour in the 85th percentile, 31 miles an hour. So certainly well within the posted limit. So therefore, no recommendation to install a stop sign in that area. If the city felt compelled to install additional speed limit signs, but we also don't want to oversight the community either. If there was, city felt the need to install those signs, certainly you could, but again, probably not necessary in this case. And do you have any more? Yeah, just a second.
I'm good.
Oh?
Good. Memo in the packet, along with a couple exhibits, one from EEI and the other one that we put together based off of the EEI exhibit. In general, EEI is asking for an inflationary type increase on their hourly rates within their base level and supplemental contracts. We did not review a rate request in 2020, so this is basically we've skipped a year. And I've shown the differences between their 2021 request, what they would have asked for in 2020, and then 2019, so you can see their general. Basically they skipped a year, so we've gotten a year at a discount during 2020. And they're recommending to move back into a normal hourly rate in 2021 that they charge other communities. So we do support it. We make the comment too with the base contract, because we have not addressed the gross amount of the contract, that we do get marginally less hours each year that we approve a rate increase, but it hasn't caused any issues with us yet, and so we don't make the recommendation to increase the base level contract price at this time. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Well then, sir. There, Seymour?
Yeah. Good.
Alderman Buckhauser.
Just two things. I'd be interested to see how many hours it's been reduced, or what we actually get since we started the contract, to see as these increases have come in. What are we getting out of the total hours over time as the rates have increased? So maybe we could bring that back at a later time, look at that. On the rates themselves, so I know we've got one rate that increases 33%, all the other ones are between the 3% and right under 6%. Is there a reason for the variation as compared to just a flat, 4% or whatnot, with the exception of the G1, I know that's an outlier right now, but I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, it's basically for no better reason than we just like even numbers, Chris. So, we try to raise them, either normally between 1.5% and 3%, but we round up or down based on that. So that's why the percentages are off a bit from line item to line item. So, no other good reason than that. We're just trying to keep it on an even dollar figure.
Okay, then. That makes sense, and I will say that these numbers are better than if we had done a 3% last year and a 3% this year, because we're actually not compounding. Overall, it's better. Any reason on the one outlier that's a 33% increase?
Sure. So That is our GIS technician. And basically, we added a technician probably 4 or 5 years ago, came in at a low rate, and then after evaluating and comparing rates from other consultants, we realized our rate was extremely low. And we're probably still low, obviously, based on the figure that is proposed in 2021. So that's the reason for the adjustment.
I don't want to keep myself in the mud here, but I agree it is low.
I'll let me go.
I'm good. So the shortest story for this agenda item is that we propose to give Oswego $58,650.93 in general, plus around $4,000 for legal fees for work that they are completing on a water study that can benefit us. The longer story is in the memo and in the attachments. And I just want to make it clear that they made the decision to move forward without asking us for contributions because they did have a lot of work that needed to be done, both on their own water system and so that they were in place to make a decision on the Joliet source option sooner than the rest of us, because they have well and pump issues before Yorkville and Montgomery will. And so they made the decision to bring on a consultant team to assist them in their decision-making process. And when we started to review the materials that they were working on, we realized that we could use a bunch of it. And so the mayors discussed, came to the conclusion that it wouldn't make sense for us to duplicate services through EEI, and instead just give some money to us. We would offset their costs and then move forward with the data once it's completed. So the structure for this is I'm going to call it a procedural intergovernmental agreement. So it sets up kind of a blank slate for future professional services work between the three towns. And it basically just says, if the city councils agree during a vote, you can pay each other for professional services as you see fit. So that kind of sets the process in place overall. And then on the back end, for this particular vote, we would recommend that you approve the contribution in the amount that I stated for the water study. So there will actually be two votes here, one to set the process in place and then one on the actual discussion for the contribution. So that's my long and short story. Happy to answer any questions if anybody has them.
Alderman Cole?
Aye, Tom.
Seamer?
I'm good.
Hauser?
So this is the Baxter Woodman component?
Yes.
The special counsel as well?
Yes, we're recommending that we would use Attorney Kaminer for certain water supply use agreement discussions going forward. She has a very robust background in these types of agreements that we're gonna have to negotiate. And Attorney Orr had actually looked at her background and said she should be the one doing them, not me. So
within the document that's provided with the listing comes out to be $175,000. Our share is for all of that. Correct?
Our share is the $58,000. So the $175 that's in this.
Everything that's in there, so this is start to finish on this project.
That is only a portion of their overall project. So there are costs that we did not show within this that we are not contributing to Oswego that are part of the Baxter study. So we only listed what we were considering to be shared.
Is there a reason, what's the reason we're not part of the other components?
Because they're Oswego only. Improvements on their water system or
demand scenario or a supply scenario that only applies to them.
Okay, so that's similar to what EI has done for us in terms of the overall, our overall water system analysis, the individual studies they've done for us?
I would say mostly yes.
Mostly. So, I just wanted to check and see, are there other fees that are going to come out of this during this part before we get into the actual design development component?
I mean, there are going to be a myriad costs associated with our decision-making process, including probably a supplemental EEI agreement next month at Public Works Committee for review that will take our Yorkville-specific options and information and update them so that we can make, you know, decisions with a full range of updated information.
Is there some way to get our arms around the entire cost for design, engineering, legal fees, all that? Obviously, we've heard the big numbers of what connecting is, but can
we
get some breakdowns on what that might look like?
Yeah, we can talk about it a little bit more in depth next month, but in general, it's going to be this cost, probably another $50,000 or $60,000 for the Yorkville-specific EEI study. And then after that, whatever attorney's fees we decide with Oswego's water attorney. And then it'll probably be public discussions with minimal costs until we make the decision on whether we want to go with Joliet or not. And if so, then we're off and running that way. And if not, then we have to make another decision on what non-Joliet source we actually have to make, which is then its own, you know, process and discussion. It may not require any engineering after that point, but it will be, you know, a pretty robust public discussion.
Joe? Anything else?
Yeah, Joe. Kind of to follow up what Chris was talking about there. So Bart, how your budget, are you budgeting, this is, you're not just budgeting this amount, right? You're good. You have a number in the budget that's
yes.
going to be more than this, right? So,
yes.
You're kind of talking, you're not positive on that number, right? I mean, it could be higher or lower depending on how things shake out.
Our Oswego contribution should be relatively fixed to this. We know the ballpark cost of the EEI study. So both of those numbers are in the budget. As far as the overall capital budget for the water fund, we have an additional $600,000 in there for land acquisition. Granted, I think it's in fiscal year 25 and 26, but it's in a five-year budget. And if we ever needed to do something, we always could accelerate it and spend that money sooner.
So then if we count the cost that's going to be more than you budget for, you'll have to do an amendment like we would normally do, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Almost certainly.
Okay.
Anything else, Ed? Alright. And we'll move on to PW 2021-20, Whalen National Mariners Challenge for Water Conservation.
So this is the fourth year that Yorkville has participated in this challenge. Recently, we were asked to speak at a panel for the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Environmental Group next. So hopefully more Illinois communities will be participating this year as well. Last year it was delayed due to COVID, so instead of April, it was in August, and we ended up placing eighth. So that's a huge feat for the city. We don't expect to be in classrooms this year for the second year in a row, but we do like to provide this information on our website, get it out on social media for everybody to participate. Teachers do tend to pick up on this within the district, and then there is some educational materials that they can bring back to their classrooms. So if anybody has any questions on this, I'd be happy to answer. We do ask that the City Council approve a resolution for formality, and then we set out the press release closer to the April 1st
timeframe.
Nothing,
all in favor?
The first two vehicles are actually tied to the next agenda item. But the other vehicles, the other four trucks, two are unused at the moment, they're unreliable. And then two, we have purchased vehicles already that should be coming in within the next week or so. And we just like permission to sell the old ones. The descriptions are written and also in the vehicle replacement form. If you have any questions, I'll gladly answer any.
Just for clarification, the two you referenced that are tied to the next agenda item are the 99 John Deere.
And the 2004 one-ton dump truck, the first two, I apologize.
Okay. And so the proposal then is to trade them in or sell them when we get the new ones in.
Correct.
So
we will not sell them.
We're seeking authorization, but we'll hold on to them.
Yeah, we'll absolutely hold on to them until we have vehicles in hand.
All in vote?
I'm good.
Alderman Tuckhauser? Alderman Phillips?
Okay.
All right. We'll move on to PW 2021-22, Public Works Vehicle Proposal.
How do we want to go about this one? Just want to go through vehicle by vehicle, or?
I think so. So the lead in, though, is this is basically the list of vehicles that we propose to buy as part of either the fiscal year 21 budget amendment or fiscal year 22 budget proposal. So in general, it's, you know, $680,000 of vehicles and equipment, which is what we're showing in the fiscal year 22 budget proposal, plus an additional $41,000 that's left over from fiscal year 21. Unrelated to any of the budget amendments or budget proposals we've talked about. We've just underspent, and we've gotten more impact fees than we expected, and so there's a tracker in there. I think that's actually number one that we're proposing to do that. So can you walk through the timelines of those?
Yeah, the timeline of the tracker would be we would order as soon as possible, as soon as we were granted permission, and it's usually a 4 to 6 week time on that, and as Bart said, that's about $41,000 net cost to the city after the $3,000 traded for our current tractor. The second one would be a lawnmower. That's one we put off purchasing this year. So that would be why we have some of the money left. Third one would be the replacement of our wheel loader. Currently, they're talking 6 to 8 weeks, but realistically, it's probably 8 to 12 weeks is more than likely the lag time on that. Our current wheel loader is a 2006, so 14, almost 15 years old. And we use it constantly, and this is one of the bigger pieces of machinery we really need to replace. The fourth one is a seal coat machine, and this is actually something that I had talked about with Bart and the mayor about doing our own maintenance on our trails, since we now have so many. And we think we could do it at a much, much more cost-effective rate than hiring it out, even with the purchase of the machine. So I've put together a 5-year rotation for seal coating all the parking lots and trails, and it seems to come out a very cost-effective measure to do it. So we'd like to purchase one of those, and along with that would be a new line sprayer to spray the parking lots and or streets after we seal coat them. The sixth one is an additional purchase as a gravel bucket for our wheel loader. This will assist us in brush pickup. This should actually relieve us of one physical employee standing there with a pitchfork holding the pile. This should actually allow us to go up, grab the piles, and move on quickly. This was planned for this year, but I had it as one of the extra items I was going to propose, and I just pulled it back at the beginning of the year, and we thought we would put it in there to try to help us out. And then the vehicle purchases, would be one-ton pickups with plows. I'm proposing two trucks. One is the 2004 that we talked about and the sale of surplus vehicles. And the other one would just be a straight outright purchase. We've ordered two already this year for the water department. We're awaiting their arrivals, and these two would be for the street department. The second item would be the single axle dump truck that we've all talked about. This would be a plow truck, but this one has the 10 to 12 month lead time on it. So in order to try to help us for next year's snow season, I am proposing larger rehabs on two of our 2007 current units. And the difference between these rehabs and the ones we've done in previous years is we are also replacing the entire hydraulic system, which is the hydraulic block. It's the modules that are the brains behind it and the power behind it in hydraulic tanks and all new hoses. And those will be ready to go for next coming plow season. So those would be probably two very important additions.
So we listed on each vehicle or piece of equipment within the memo whether it could possibly get here within this fiscal year if you authorize it at next week's city council meeting as part of the proposed fiscal year 21 budget amendment, and what would definitely roll over. So the important thing to remember is the $680,000 fund is covers all these vehicles and is shown in the fiscal year 21 and fiscal year 22 budgets. So if you were okay with us purchasing all of these vehicles, what would occur is we would probably take most of these to the next city council meeting, ask for the fiscal year 21 budget amendment and purchase authorization to go, and then actually initiate those orders after city council approval, some of which may be delivered this fiscal year, some of which aren't gonna be here for months. You know, they would roll into the next year. So we have, I think, almost completed our purchasing due diligence. Kerry has done that.
Yes.
I think every one of these pieces of equipment or vehicles is either state bid contract prices or it's done through Sourcewell joint purchasing. So right now there are no sole source bids that are outside of a joint purchasing contract.
That's correct. It is okay. State bid or Sourcewell.
Nor are we quoting anything out or bidding anything out because we have joint purchasing agreements in place to be able to cover it. So what's included in the packet would be ready to go to the next city council meeting for everybody to take a look at and discuss the merits of how we purchase those things. So I think that's everything.
I'll go first, Kevin. So when we were talking about this, and I kind of spent time to understand it. So the next year's budget doesn't have these in it per se because we had this amended, right?
No, they do.
So these are already in next year's budget?
Yep.
So
if you don't approve the budget amendment, it's still in the budget proposal, and our proposal would still be to just to buy them all on May 1. Yep.
Okay, because I was wondering why do the budget amendment if they're already in there. Because otherwise, if you said, okay, do the budget amendment, then you have to go back and pull them out of the next year's budget, correct?
Some of them, yes, depending on so there may be a budget amendment that's required at some point or another, or just, obviously direction that we're not gonna go out and spend $1.2 million worth of public works vehicles. You know, it's really only gonna be the 680. So, yeah, there may be some work on our end to do, but the budget amendment is just like, approve it, and we're going to go on these things, and some of them are going to come sooner. But if you're not comfortable with it, not a huge deal. We'll just wait for the fiscal year 21 budget approval and pull the trigger, hopefully, on May 1.
All right. Yeah, that's what I didn't understand last council meeting, that it did seem like I wasn't sure which was which, so.
Between Rob and the mayor and I, we probably had a couple conversations that were multiple hours long. And we talked ourselves in circles because it's so complicated between the budget amendment and the budget proposal and they don't overlap.
All together, yeah.
Yes.
I separately have bought forward a couple purchases as well, which kind of throws everything else in the mix. And
right,
kind of
yeah.
It became a little confusing.
A lot of moving parts.
So the intent is just to get this moving as best as possibly can, correct?
Yeah, that's the entire purpose behind the fiscal year 21 budget amendment proposal, is to just pull the trigger early and hopefully get some of the things, before they're needed, especially for next snow season.
Alderman Funkhouse, you got anything?
Does this encompass everything that was on, and this is what I want to make sure, does it encompass everything that was on the budget amendment and the proposed budget?
Yes, so the budget amendment and the proposed budget are basically one and the same. There's like $480,000 or $680,000 in each one, and if you approve one or the other, we would buy the list of trucks and equipment that's in that memo. making things even more confusing, there's like an extra tractor thrown on top of $41,000 because we have extra money saved. So that's kind of like off in its own little pool.
Yeah, okay, so if we did not have that $2 million surplus, what would we be looking at as the actual proposal problem?
So last year's budget proposal for the fiscal year 22 year had about $200,000 in public works vehicles and equipment. So my guess is it probably would have ended up there. And so, you know, we just kind of left it as is and then piled the $480,000 on top of it from our, you know, our budget surplus discussion.
So that's what we're adding on top of it due to the surplus?
$480,000, yes.
$480,000 in additional. I caught two of the line items. I just want to ask them, 4 and 5. So right now, we do not do any of the seal coating on the trails?
Correct, we have done none to this point.
Okay, but any seal coating we've needed has been contracted?
Yes.
And I would assume that that is an efficient use of time, or that obviously it could be a little more expensive, but we're not factoring in potentially staff costs and time, other duties that they may not be able to do. So this is one I want to be cautious on. I'm not sold on adding the seal coat machine.
I actually did do a little time study with it too, Chris, and in the 5 years we end up saving approximately $127,000.
Well, and that's something I'd like to see that.
Sure.
Before I make a commitment on that one.
Absolutely.
I understand the concept. However, anytime I see us adding more tasks to public works staff, we're either going to need more staff or we're going to cut staff's time short for what they have to do. So that's my concern is, are we going to need more staff to get things done? Or is it just better to outsource it still and have it done in an orderly kind of fashion? So that's where I want to see some more information before I would commit to that one.
Sure.
Same thing with the striping. I know we do some of that striping a little bit now. So this is a replacement.
Correct.
I assume it would be a bigger machine that does a little more for us.
This one has the laser guidance, and it's you can put a double sprayer tip on it for dual yellow lines.
So it's a step up from what we have.
Yes.
So this one isn't doing much, but it's just a step up.
Correct.
So that one I'm not as concerned about because we are doing it, but the seal coating, I'd like to see more information before I...
Sure, absolutely. And the only reason I brought the seal coat machine forward, Chris, is it appears now that there are two maintenance worker ones in the street department that we're willing to get to hire.
Okay. And then the rehabilitation. Those are 2007 trucks?
Correct.
How much longer do you think they have in their life expectancy?
I would say with this, you're going to get, currently, you're coming to the end of their life expectancy. For what we would use them for, with the rehabilitation, you're probably going to get a 5-year minimum to 7 years.
But we're doing $75,000 a truck and we're getting 5 to 7 years.
I would say seven. I mean, we say 5 to 7, that ends up being 7 to 10, to be quite honest, with anything we do.
Well, and that's what I want to be cautious on because we're looking at, you know, $216,000 for a truck right above that.
Sure.
The life expectancy being, what, 15 to 20 years?
10 to 15.
What we're doing is right. So yeah. Is it something that we should put it in two trucks or put it in one and take that other and put it towards another new truck? That's
putting it towards...
It's into a condition that services the community the best it can.
Sure. Putting it towards a new truck would be great, but then we're going to be waiting 2 years for that truck because we won't have enough for a full another truck. So I would have to wait for another budget year, and that is a 12-month wait. So not only will it not be here for next plow season, it won't be here for the following plow season. I'm trying to get two reliable trucks on the ground.
And these trucks would not be usable without the rehab?
No, they'll absolutely be usable. They're just a lot less reliable. The boxes, the big ticket item on this is replacing the box. The boxes get busted through. The big ticket item is replacing the stainless with stainless steel.
Okay.
So yes, it's an expensive upfront cost, but you also will get some return on the back end of it with resale value.
Okay. Because we're adding, what are we adding? Two new trucks above, you know, the Peterbilt and the one time.
Yeah.
So we're adding those two.
Yeah, we're also hiring two people, and that one ton will be used every as a daily driver as well. The other one ton is a replacement for an 04 with 100,000 miles.
Okay. So we're replacing one and adding one to the fleet, and we're adding two. So.
Eric, is this due to like where you need to be, or is this just another stepping stone?
This is an interim step. This is an ongoing process that will not end. As we grow, I mean, we need the need for the trucks, and as even at the rehabs, they have a finite lifespan. And when you reach the end of that lifespan, we need to either buy a new one or do something else. And I kind of put it in perspective a little bit with my guys. We have what we call our new six-wheeler is already in its fifth year. It's time just flies, and you have to really watch what you're doing. And if we want to stick to our replacement policy, that's got 7 years left. That's a 12-year vehicle. So this is ongoing. What's that?
With the new vehicles and the rehabs, are we at the optimal vehicle count, or are we still down?
Oh, down. We're still down compared to many surrounding communities. I mean, we're up from where we were by far, and that's much appreciated, but we're still down compared to many communities for trucks. And a lot of communities, they have many more large trucks, and they just park them in the wintertime, and they don't use the pickup trucks for long times like me.
And that's what I was gonna ask, is what type of trucks should we have in the fleet?
They do the larger trucks, and they literally park them for the winter, and they come out for, you know, brush, special occasions, or for snow plowing.
So our vehicle replacement probably does not really take that into account. That's probably based more on what's in the fleet and how do we maintain the fleet as compared to the
product. Yeah, correct, as far as replacement. And that's why we're trying to work towards. Like when we received the new truck this past year, we didn't sell the old truck. That's still in use. We're trying to get as much out of these trucks as we possibly can.
If I can rephrase or reframe the conversation a little bit, Joe had asked a question at a previous meeting, like what would it take to get our fleet up to like being perfect? And the dollar amount was like $1.78 million of an initial cash infusion. So use that in the context of the $680 that we're proposing to spend. Yeah, it's a stepping stone. The average annual spend, though, after we get to that optimum level, is only like $400,000. So we're spending above our target annual spend. So we're definitely making progress. We're just, you know, it's like a road situation. We need to spend $2 million annually. And, you know, for the most part, we usually spend between $1 and $1.5 million recently. Although this year, I think we might be close to spending like $6 million after everything is said and done. So, yeah.
So you said it was like 1.1 million?
1.7.
Or 1.7 million, and we're spending 680, but the 680 includes two tractors and a couple other pieces of equipment. That 1.7, is that fleet overall? Or is that trucks?
It's fleet overall.
That's to get everything up to speed fleet-wise.
Everything?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I
want to clarify. That was a scope off fleet. That's what we did.
Okay. Yeah, okay, moving this forward. It seems like you still have a down like where we would be, but something better than nothing. Trulis, you got anything, man?
We can't get them a building. At least we can get them some equipment. We need to do their job.
piggybacks to this too, with the rehab, I guess I thought maybe we'd have a little discussion on the roads discussion and not the bids, because there were some roads that we talked about in the vendor, right? So I guess I wanted to hear from you guys about where we might be looking to go.
So let me put it in the context of what you've already approved and talked about. So the budget amendment contemplates throwing like $550,000 towards roads that we have not yet said which roads are going to be on.
Right.
When we did the Fox Hill bidding, we added the rest of John Street and some of the side streets, so that's basically the whole subdivision in there. So at the time, I think we spitballed that it might be a couple $100,000 extra, and we've since done the analysis and it ended up being four something, if I remember correctly.
490 or so, yeah.
Okay. And that's using the unit prices that we have recently bid out, or is that just like the normal engineer's estimate?
It's still a normal estimate.
Okay. So hopefully, no guarantees, you know, the bidding is good and that comes in under. So we have $300,000 in work that we haven't technically funded yet through a budget amendment. And then $550,000 is part of this fiscal year 21 budget amendment. So you could make the decision to pay for the Fox Hill program out of some other pot of money and then go forward with the $550,000 Road to Better Roads program. Or you can use that money to cover the Fox Hill additions and then bid out like another $200,000 or $300,000 worth of work. So I would anticipate at the next city council or the next public works committee meeting, we're going to have actual recommendations for like what roads would be up next and the potential costs associated with those. And then we would say, you know, what do you want to do? Do we want to try to do all of these plus the Fox Hill roads, or do you want to trade off and do some of that here? So maybe you can talk a little bit just about what roads are probably next.
Yeah, so we had worked with Eric to come up with a potential list of additional streets. Just pulling up the email and looking at it. So one was the stretch in Auto Creek, was it Auto Creek Boulevard, right? Just north of Route 34, there's a block that's just in horrific shape. So that was one. Potential streets. Wing Road is another, you know, long-standing problematic street or road that hasn't really been addressed. Part of it is going to be addressed when IDOT completes its Route 71 work, but the rest of it remains. Then, you know, Booba Boulevard, that's been a street that's constantly getting kicked and pushed down. That's another stretch of roadway that's always on our five-year plan that hasn't been addressed. And then we did some estimates on East Barbary and Walsh. You know, we can start moving down into that area. That is planned for next year. So, you know, jumping into basically the next wave of streets. So those were some of the initial thoughts. And then Eric has discovered a problem on Cordials, a big problem. So we're put together an estimate on that. Also, basically, frost is not being kind to that road and blowing it up. So we have several things already pulled together. We just need to package it and present it in front of you and as part of the targeting of the people we need.
Okay, so then what you just talked about, and that's also finishing up the Fox Hill, or is that a choice that has to be made?
Yeah, so well, I guess we were directed to put together the bid package to include all of Fox Hill.
Okay.
So we were targeting initially to have like an early April letting with the additional streets added that added another couple weeks. So we're wrapping that up, should get that in to IDOT, and then as soon as they can turn it around, we'll hit a letting for that project. So that will include everything in Fox Hill.
And then you're also on top street that you just mentioned too.
Yeah, and that's okay. Ultimately dependent on
the bids
and how much you want to spend. So you know, we'll have an analysis together. You know, for the next meeting, you know, deconstruction, for example, came in 10% less than our estimate, so we can maybe assume that you know, for the Fox Hill bids, and you know, come up with an approximate package that makes sense.
So then we'll have a little better fill in. Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know what the plan was. I didn't know if you were moving every couple 1 year or trying to move as much up. I didn't know if you're taking the schedule and just incremented up, but it sounds like it's kind of a mixture of that.
So. Yeah, it's a little bit more nuanced, but we were going to present it to City Council before we moved forward with it.
Anything else, Ken?
No, that's it. Just kind of wanted to plan.
Anyone else have any questions or comments on that?
Yeah. So with that, what's our total that we have running right now for the roads program this year?
Fiscal year 21, or like this summer, you know, upcoming?
This summer, everything that we've done for this summer, Fox Hill, all of that. So what have you updated?
You're testing my memory here, but I believe it was like $900,000 out of Road to Better Roads, $300,000 out of Citywide Capital, and then there's water and sewer improvements, obviously, and several hundred thousand dollars on top of that, but and some of which will include pavement, but that's kind of the core program, about $1.2 million.
And then the Fox Hill is?
Yeah, Fox Hill on top of that is another $1.2 million, so,
okay.
So $2.4 million.
Yeah. So that's why I thought this year we're over in excess of $2 million on actual roads.
Yeah, it could be.
Water and sewer types of projects.
Yeah.
So this is our best year yet when we take just road improvements. Because
yeah.
A lot of our years ago, we were, you know, in the million plus, but we had a lot of road underground utilities. So this is a great year so far. So when we're talking this extra half a million, we really got to look at that and say, okay, what else can we do?
Yep.
I like this whole thing of getting Fox Hill done with the savings from that bid. I want to look at the sidewalks program too. That's the other part of this is we got 500 for sidewalks, we got some, or 500 for roads, 500 some sidewalks. Well, I think these kind of, they don't go together, but a lot of them might. Something that was brought up to me on Keating was downtown areas. We've got some areas that have gravel parking spaces along the parkway in the downtown. Some of them have become muddy and some of them, you know, over time are not ideal. So maybe it's something if we do look at adding on, maybe we look at modifying those gravel areas and